So, good afternoon, happy new year. It's great to be back and refreshed for the year ahead. I hope you all had a good break. I certainly did. So as we begin 2014, it's worth noting the strong foundations that we start with. The economy is growing, more jobs are being created, and wages are rising faster than inflation. Business confidence is up, we're making very good progress on issues like crime, long-term welfare dependency, and things are going in a very positive direction as we start 2014. But clearly there's lots more to do. However, strong economy and good and solid fiscal management gives us opportunities to do more in areas that we think are a priority. So with that in mind, I'll be giving my first major speech of the year on Thursday in West Auckland. As well as talking about the year ahead, I'll be making some announcements, and they'll be in the area of education. Education is vitally important, and when we get it right, give each child the opportunity to make the most of their potential. Since coming into government, we have brought in national standards so we can see how our young people are going at school and catch those that are falling behind much earlier. We're already spending more than ever before in education, but there's more to be done to improve achievement levels. And that's what we'll be talking about on Thursday. Before that, today I have a couple of things I'd like to announce. The first are some changes to the ministerial lineup, and the second relates to the political parties National would look to work with post this year's general election. With Chris Tremaine's intention to retire from Parliament at the election, he will be resigning from the ministry, and Peter Dunn will be appointed Minister of Internal Affairs to take effect next week on Tuesday the 28th of January. Mr. Dunn will also hold the Associate Minister of Health and Associate Minister of Conservation portfolios. He will hold these portfolios as a Minister outside Cabinet, as he did prior to the resignation in June of last year. Michael Woodhouse will take up the Cabinet position made vacant by Chris Tremaine's resignation, and Mr. Woodhouse will retain all of his current responsibilities. Paula Bennett will pick up the role of Minister of Local Government, in addition to her current responsibilities, and Todd Clay will take up the position of Associate Minister of Tourism. The new Minister outside Cabinet is Pasita Samlota Inga, who will be the Minister of Pacific Island Affairs and Associate Minister of Local Government. Sam has very strong ties with the Pacifica community and is well placed to build on the great work he here has done in this portfolio. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Chris Tremaine for his dedication and his hard work, and wish him all the best for the future. I'd also like to welcome Mr. Dunn back and congratulate Michael, Paula, Sam and Todd on their new roles. I had signalled that today I'd like to give you and the public my decision on which parties National will consider working with following this year's general election. Can I firstly say that we'll be fighting hard to win every vote as we can for National. But the MMP environment means we will almost certainly have to work collaboratively and constructively with other parties. This will likely be in the form of confidence and supply agreements, as these have worked well for us in the last two terms. Given the right electoral circumstances, my preference will be to continue working with the current three partners that the government has, which are ACT, the Māori Party and United Future. I believe there's also a scenario where it would be possible to add the Conservative Party to this group. While National has differences with ACT and the Māori Party, while National has differences with ACT, the Māori Party and United Future, together our four parties have provided stable and successful government since late 2008. We also have policy differences with the Conservative Party, however it's likely that there will be enough common ground to work with them in government. However, ultimately, it will be the public that determines who will be returned to Parliament. Today I'm ruling out working with Labour, the Greens and Mana. These parties represent a far left-wing agenda, and we do not believe it's good for New Zealand. Finally, let's turn to New Zealand First. New Zealand First is an unlikely partner. However, unlike the previous two elections, I'm not prepared to totally rule them out today. In 2008, we ruled them out because we were unable to reconcile some of their statements on the Glen donation. 6 years has passed, and while the likelihood of a New Zealand First National Government is low, we would not rule out a discussion if New Zealand First was returned to the Parliament in 2014. Can I repeat that we'll be fighting hard to win every vote for National. The more party votes National wins at the election, the more choices we have when we look to form a government. Finally, in terms of my activity this week, I'm in Christchurch tomorrow, in Auckland on Thursday, giving the speech I talked about earlier today, and on Friday I'm heading off to Ratna with several cabinet ministers and national MPs. With Auckland Anniversary Day on Monday, the next cabinet meeting will be held on Tuesday, ahead of the first House sitting day, and we can take the questions you might have now. Yeah, so a couple of things. I mean, firstly, A, I want to make sure I give complete transparency to the New Zealand public. We've always been transparent about who we could and couldn't work with, and we would have been good to our word had Mr. Peters been returned in 2008 or 2011 as he was, held the balance of power, we wouldn't have worked with him. But in my view, a few things have changed. Firstly, A, it was 6 years ago that the particular issues around the Glen donation took place, and we're not going to get answers to those questions, but a lot of time has moved on. Secondly, he's been returned to the Parliament. So in reality, he's put that test back to the New Zealand public in 2011. And if he gets back in 2014, effectively, he will have been returned twice. So that puts him in a position where, at least logically, we should have a discussion with him. And lastly, I think, bluntly, there will be some national voters and some other voters who will be of the view that they would rather see national form a government with New Zealand First than see a Labour Greens government formed in this country, because they do not believe it will be taking New Zealand in the right direction. So that's the logic around what we're doing. I don't think it's the most likely pairing, but it's possible. It's also possible a range of other alternatives could be formed, including some sort of situation where we run a minority government and ultimately Mr. Peters abstains.
Yeah, how likely is that? Are you realistic about that option of Mr. Peters abstaining?
Well, it's a possibility. We haven't had any discussions with New Zealand First, but if you go back to this 2005 statements, we talked about not wanting the boardrooms of office and the like. Fundamentally, what he said then was he intended to sit on the crossbenches. Now, it's not impossible in a post-2014 environment. He may adopt that view where he abstains for confidence and supply, and ultimately the government has to look to any one of the parties in Parliament to get a majority to pass its agenda beyond that point. So it's possible he could be in government, it's possible we could form a government without him, and it's possible he could abstain.
So you would be prepared to go there with a minority government that goes to Winston Peters maybe every time to pass legislation? You would be prepared to do that?
Well, the very first point is we don't know what those numbers are going to look like post the general election. Our view is we're working hard to get the maximum number of votes that we can. We don't know who will be returned and who won't be. What we can say today is that these are the particular parties we'll either have a discussion with or look to form a government with. What that makeup looks like, who's returned, that's for the 2014 general election for the voters of New Zealand.
Peter Dunn defied you in June. He wouldn't release those emails. How can you welcome him back into the fold so quickly?
Well, I can't answer the questions that were posed in 2013 about the release of that document. I'm prepared to accept Mr. Dunn at his word, but I can't categorically support that view because I don't know what actually happened there. But the reality is that, in the 5 years that we worked with Peter Dunn as a minister, he was a very good minister. He was a reliable partner for the government, and I think he did a good job in his ministerial portfolios. And bluntly, again, some time has moved on. I'm looking towards the future and people who can make a contribution, and there's no much point in me trying to litigate what's happened in the past, because I don't think I'll get a straight answer to that, or B, whether it would be worth effectively investing a huge amount of time.
Is it desperation on your part, though, to secure coalition partners?
No, I mean, it makes no difference in terms of this current ruling out arrangement, because in reality we've got a confidence and supply agreement with United Future. So whether he's returned as a minister or not doesn't actually make any difference to that. I do want to work with him again as a minister, because I found him to be a very effective minister. And it's not unusual for ministers to be brought back. Helen Clark brought back Ruth Dyson, Leanne Dalziel, I brought back Phil Heatley, Nick Smith. In the end, it's not unusual for ministers to do a period of time, and then for whatever reason they left their ministry to eventually come back.
So well, who do you think that report in your view?
I don't know. I can't give you an answer to that, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time thinking about it. I mean, ultimately, that report was leaked, and in the end, late. You know, that was a bit annoying, given it was on a visit to China that was very important and celebrated the 40 years of diplomatic relations. But that's very much a 2013 issue. In the end, we're in 2014, and I'm looking forward, and I'm not really looking back.
So who should the people at O'Hare be voting for?
Well, in the end, you know, that's a matter for them. And I mean, ultimately, what we've given an indication today is who we might work with, how we might work with those political parties, and what that all looks like. Is also something I'd like to have a bit more transparency about, because in my view, there is a growing maturity about MMP and a recognition that it's extremely difficult for one political party to get an absolute majority. That means, by definition, you have to work with others. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what that will look like with the various different parties, whether there'll be any kind of, you know, so-called sort of deals or accommodations or things we do or don't do. I don't know that today. I haven't given much thought to that. But what my intention would be, if possible, is to be as clear about that prior to the election.
So can you trust Peter Dunn? Can you trust Peter Dunn as minister?
Yeah, I trust Peter Dunn as a minister.
Despite his history?
Yeah, I mean, look, I had a very good and have always had a good working relationship with him. He was a very reliable minister and a very reliable partner. I mean, in the end, there's a point there in the middle of last year where I can't reconcile those issues. We had an inquiry, and even that didn't actually resolve the issues. Maybe arguably created more issues of its own than it resolved. But in the end, I could spend a lot of time trying to think about that, or I could worry about what I'm doing going forward, and I'm taking the going forward.
So do you trust them with cabinet documents?
Yes, I wouldn't make them a minister if I didn't.
So you're prepared to do electorate deals, if need be, with any of these parties?
Well, that decision, or those decisions, haven't been made. But effectively, if you think about a symbolic cup of tea with ACT, I mean, in essence, that was a way of demonstrating that National thought was highly likely it was going to work with ACT in an environment where they were returned to the Parliament in 2011. I guess what I'm saying to you is that we'll need to think all of those issues through with the various different partners that we might have, but we'll look to be reasonably clear, if we can be, prior to the 2014 election. Because I think there is a desire by the New Zealand public for us to try and spell that out.
So you will tell the New Zealand public, yes, we want to do a deal with Colin Craig in a certain electorate, and no, we don't.
Yeah, look, it's possible that that's the way it'll work.
How do you envisage Colin Craig getting into Parliament? Is it through an electorate or through private?
Well, again, you know, none of those decisions, you know, either have been made, or I can't sort of form a view on those. I don't know. And in the end, every party's going to do what National's doing come the election. That is, work hard to secure enough votes to get here, either through winning a seat or getting above 5%. How they actually do that, that'll be for another day.
Is Myron McCulley going to stand again at the election?
That's his intention, yes.
That could change, though. You're prepared to do a deal with Colin Craig in East Coast Base if it means getting Colin Craig into Parliament?
Well, certainly no decisions have been made on that, but it's highly likely National will be running a candidate in every general seat.
Why have you ruled out the Greens?
Yeah, I mean, look, in the end, we have, in the past, tried to work, you know, reasonably constructively with the Greens. I think what's become clear in the last 3 years is that their agenda is a very far left-wing agenda. And actually, that's not the direction I think either New Zealand should go down, or we could, in all good conscience, work with them on. It's funnily enough not about their environmental policies, because in many areas we work in, you know, maybe at a different pace, but very much in the same direction when it comes to the environment. But the reality of the Greens is they represent a very far left-wing economic and social agenda, and Labour are welcome to them, but there's really no problems that they would work with us and we won't work with them.
Will you be standing in the Māori seats?
We haven't made a decision on that, but I think it's unlikely.
You've had candidates in all seats last time, and you still got to deal with that. It doesn't really mean anything if you've got a candidate or not.
Well, yes, but we didn't think about last time. I mean, there were subtleties about the way we did that. We had a couple of things, which was symbolic. What I'm saying is we might be a little bit clearer than being quite that subtle.
What is the scenario that you envisage that Conservatives would be government-elected?
Well, that, in the end, that's actually up to the voters. They would, for us to be able to have a governing relationship with them, they need to be in Parliament. How they get there in the first instance is primarily their responsibility.
Going back to East Coast Bays, you said that National was likely to stand there and that Myron McCulley would stand again, but did you mean by that that he would stand again in East Coast Bays?
Totally likely. I mean, we haven't had any discussions with him that would indicate that he wouldn't at this time.
Will it deal with
Well, firstly, it's entirely up to ACT to determine who their candidate vote for represent should be and who their leader should be, and we're not endorsing anyone. As I said this morning on television, you know, I've worked very effectively with John Biscow before, appointed as a minister. He's a very uncomplicated guy, and he's been good to deal with. But in the end, it's up to ACT to decide who they want to put in as the team. But yeah, in the end, you know, there'll be lots of factors that we'll have to consider. And in the end, you know, we have a general election and the voters actually decide, you know, who you work with and how it all works. But the reality of MMP is we've had this system since 1996, and after every general election, political parties have had to sit around the table and try and cobble together a governing relationship. And what we're trying to do today is make sure that people understand where we are.
Well, the outcome of John Banks' trial have any influence on what deal or
I don't think so. I mean, in reality, that court case is in relation to the work that, or the actions that he took or didn't take as the mayoral candidate of Auckland. There's really nothing to do with that, so I don't see
it. What do you think working with Winston Peters in government would be like?
Well, don't know. I've never worked with Winston, either as Prime Minister, and even in opposition, really. So, you know, I wouldn't want to jump to conclusions. I think it's not a likely scenario. But it's not like it was in 2008 and 2011, where if he held the balance of power, would have run the leader of the Labour Party and said, "You're now the Prime Minister because we're not going to deal with the guy." This is a different scenario. We will have a discussion with him, and if he wants to have a discussion with us, and we'll see where that goes.
Why do you think it's a likely scenario, given when you look at the polls, you look at the problems that ACT has got, the problems that the Māori Party has got, which seem to suggest that New Zealand First could well be in a position to be the crucial party in terms of whether you were in government?
Well, it's very difficult to know, isn't it? I mean, a lot of, I think, personally, a lot of New Zealand First support came from disillusioned Labour voters in 2011. I mean, essentially, they had the same effect as we had in 2002 when our voters deserted us because they didn't think we were going to win the election. They didn't go to Labour, they actually went to smaller parties of the day, ACT, New Zealand First, United, and that's why I think actually bolstered New Zealand First support. So there's absolutely no guarantee he's going to get back in 2014. He might or he might not.
Back in 2008, you talked of Hannah Clark running a government with five heads. You called it a five-headed monster.
Five-headed Hydra, I think, from memory, but yeah.
Yeah, five-headed monster or Hydra. I mean, this is a six-headed monster.
Well, no, it's not. It could be a one-headed great government, which is entirely national. But the point is, it could have other component parts to it. That's all I'm saying is, these are the ones we think we can work with. Frankly, I think the New Zealand public will actually like the fact that we are trying to be transparent and say, this is who we can work with and who we can't. We've actually pretty much always done that. I think they're respected that.
Prime Minister, if the Māori Party returns to Parliament just one MP,
we're
confident the
conference agreements will be on the table? Yep, we've got agreements with other parties that have one MP, and ACT and United being the opposite. No, I think what we're indicating is the three parties that we currently have confidence and supply agreements with have worked very effectively for us in the two terms of government. And if we're in a position to put together a government with the same grouping, then we'd enjoy the opportunity to do that. But it'll be subject to people being returned, us being in a position to be able to form a government, all of those different factors.
When will you decide on the election date? You obviously haven't made your mind up.
Yeah, I literally haven't turned my mind to the exact date. But yeah, I'll give you plenty of warning. I'm not terribly interested in playing lots of games, Gail. I don't think there's either a major political advantage of that, nor is it actually, you know, fundamentally the right thing to do. So it's not going to be today or tomorrow, but I'll be with lots of warning.
Is it likely to be announced as early as it was last time?
Well, last time, effectively, we did it because of the Rugby World Cup and all the planning that was going on and the complications of all that. It made sense to come out and say, look, this is categorically going to be the date. Quite a long way out. And I actually don't think it was, you know, at all possible to sort of move that date around a hell of a lot because the Rugby World Cup, you know, was, you know, at a fixed point, and then when you added the 4 weeks on for a campaign, you pretty much could work out the date. There's a little bit more flexibility this time, and there's a few factors we're trying to weigh up that we're not exactly sure about. But once we get a handle on that, you know, a lot more than 4 weeks out from the election, we'll be letting you know.
What are those factors?
You can see some of them. I mean, G20 is one of them that we're weighing up. There's other international events that are there. There's other different points that we're considering. So there's a number of factors.
Are Are you expecting Barack Obama to visit after the G20?
I don't know. He hasn't made that decision, to do that. I mean, he hasn't worked out his who will visit and who he can't post in 2014. Look, it'd be great if he came to New Zealand. We'd obviously welcome him here. But he's got a lot of countries he needs to visit in a pretty short amount of time.
That's one of the factors, I take it, the potential for a visit by the United States President.
Those terms, there's a few other things that we're looking at.
Have you invited him? Is that one of the things that came up during your call?
Oh, look, for sure, he knows that there's a standing invitation to come to New Zealand, and he knows that New Zealand's pretty close to Australia, so that would be great if he came, but I wouldn't bet the ranch off he's going to come to New Zealand.
If you won in 2014, what would you say to the voters of New Zealand? Would you be back for another go in 2017, or is 2014 it?
Yes, I'm thrilled that we're having this discussion, given we've got to get through the 2014 election. Look, I mean, I take them one election at a time, but I've spent the last 5 or so years of the Labor Party writing me off day after day after day, and seem to have defied their logic. All I can tell you is that I'm looking forward to the 2014 campaign. I hope we win. Ask me in 2017, but I'm going to do another term beyond then.
Is that the last change to the cabinet lineup before the election?
Likely to be. I'm not looking to make tremendous changes. I mean, some of those were, I thought, logical, given Chris, who's done a tremendous job, but fundamentally is now moving to the next phase of his life, and I thought it made sense for us just to slightly refresh and take those opportunities to do so.
What are your thoughts after the summer and on the Genesis sale? Is that still likely to go ahead?
Well, I haven't seen any advice that it shouldn't, and certainly it's been the government's intention to bring Genesis to the market, so hopefully we'll be able to do so.
Prime Minister, just on Fiji, Frank Bainimarama is going to stand down from the military and form his own political party. He says, is that a move you support?
Ultimately, who contests the Fijian elections this year is a matter for Fiji and those who are interested in that. All New Zealand's wanted to ensure is that they're free and fair elections. So the fact that he is essentially indicating he is moving towards that electoral process is welcomed by New Zealand.
Is Fiji a better place without him at?
Our issue is not whether Frank Bainimarama is the right guy to lead Fiji. Our issue is about the lack of democracy and the military coups that have plagued Fiji for quite a long time now. In the end, it's up to Fijians to decide who leads their country. We just strongly hold the view that it should be through a democratic process that person is put into that role.
Will New Zealand play a part in the election process?
Yes, we're already doing that, so we've offered support, both financial and human support, to ensure that the elections are freely held. So the Commonwealth and others, I'm sure, will send observers and do different things, but yes, we'll be actively involved, I would have thought, in trying to ensure that the process is robust and fair.
Do you think anyone can beat it?
No, but in the end, that's something I'd ask the people of Fiji.
Did you discuss PPP with Barack Obama, and what advice have you had on underway now?
We did discuss TPP. I mean, there was obviously wide-ranging discussions in terms of the 5 hours I spent with him. I mean, I think broadly, it's what we already know. He shares New Zealand's view that there should be a comprehensive deal reached with TPP. We can all see the challenges that are there, but we can also both see very much the prize that lies in wait of countries if they sign up to comprehensive TPP agreement. So, look, I think we'll get a sense in the first half of this year, in reality, whether it's a go or not. We've had numerous meetings now of officials and ministers, and we are starting to get to the point where it's crunch time about whether a deal can be concluded. He certainly hopes one can be, and I share that view.
Did he express any concerns about the fact that it wasn't signed by the end of last year as planned?
Well, I think we all recognise that you've got complications with all the different partners and sometimes time works against you a little bit, but I don't think we're surprised we didn't quite get there. It was an aspirational goal, but I think we all recognise that we are getting to a decision point in Ireland.
And did you
talk
about discussing.com?
No.
What about Edward
Snowden? Broadly in the wider issue of security, we'll talk about those matters.
And
any
concerns from Edward Snowden regarding New Zealand?
Well, no, I mean, he's aware of, because of his role as president, he's aware of what sort of scale and scope of information was being comfortable and confident about the way that they operate.
So you didn't feel a need to ask the president for his reassurance?
No.
Do you
think
with a
5-hour
bilateral with the US president, maybe you don't need to go to the White House?
Yeah, maybe, but we still might go.
How are things coming along for that potential trip?
Well, there's no sort of secret. I'm a bit of the view that it sort of seems logical to me that once a term, a New Zealand Prime Minister would go to the White House. It doesn't mean it will definitely happen, and at the end of the day, as we just pointed out, we'll probably get a decade of bilaterals and one golf game. But I think because there's so many areas where we engage with the Americans, where we have such a deep history with the country, I think it's a good thing if we can have that sort of formal meeting, partly because it helps our officials and the processes that we work through. So hopefully it'll happen, but there are always lots of complicating factors, and I can't categorically say it will, but I certainly rule out that it won't.
Prime Minister, who won the golf?
Well, we were on the same team, so I can report we did.
So you and the President?
We were together as a team, yeah.
Returning to coalition matters, two of your current support partners put a bit of a spoke in the works, the RMA reforms last year.
Yeah.
Any progress been made on that?
Well, certainly what I can say is there's no deal done with Peter Dutton to support the RMA as part of the return to cabinet. We've had those discussions. In fact, I made it quite clear to him. I was having a discussion with him last week about returning that I wasn't asking for support in that area, and I understood what his concerns were, but also support obviously where the government's trying to take that process. There are parties that we are talking to about trying to get their support for a first reading. So we're quite comfortable we have the numbers. The question is, do we have the right party supporting us for us to want to take it to a first reading? And so essentially some progress has been made on that, but they don't include Peter Dutton.
Is that because the party you're relying on is Brendan Horan?
Well, I can't rule out that he wouldn't vote for it, but and that could give you the numbers, but what I'm saying is I'd also want to see others supporting us before we necessarily vote.
Is that the first option?
Don't know. I haven't had any discussions.
Are you still sticking to the Part 2 changes to get a first reading?
Well, my aim would be to introduce it largely as we've been talking about, which is with reforms to Section 6 and 7 and all the Part 2 changes, but let's sort of see how it goes.
So, Brendan Horan's support. Be a bit embarrassing
No, but I'm just saying that in the end, if we introduce it, I mean, while obviously we have to go through a full select committee process and all of those different things, I want to know that there was at least a pretty good chance it could progress beyond a first reading. And logically, to do that, I think you would want to make sure that our core partners were at least likely to want to support beyond a first reading. And that's where
you want to. So you still want to bring those?
Trying to work on that. And we're making some progress. Billy and I had some conversations over Christmas that helped advance that.
Just
back
on the golf game quickly. Yep. Sorry, was there any protocol or anything that you were advised about before or anything you were told or warned not to talk about?
That's Steelers ball line. No, it was just the one game golf.
Did you give him that a thorough briefing straight after it?
No, I spoke to my foreign policy advisor to give him an indication of some of the things we talked about, but I didn't give him a full briefing. And actually, it was an extremely wide-ranging conversation. Some of the things were very personal, and some of the things were specific to the relationship between New Zealand and the United States. Some of those things I'll share with him, and some of them I won't share with anybody, because that's the nature of the kind of discussion I thought we had.
On trips, do you have any greater sense of when you might go to China?
Yeah, I mean, we're working on that, and there was a possibility it might have taken place very early this year, but just didn't quite work on a number of factors. I think we're getting closer to it likely being in that sort of March, April window. That's where we're certainly trying to push for.
How would you describe your personal relationship with President Obama? Did you sit down with him after the game, for example?
We didn't on that particular occasion, but we certainly could have had them on because they were out there on the course, but we didn't. Look, it's a really strong, good personal relationship. I mean, I don't think he would have invited me to play unless he felt comfortable and wanted to do it. I mean, he didn't have to do it. It was at his initiation, so it was great.
Collins' attack on Business New Zealand over ACC's health and safety training?
Well, my understanding, I haven't looked at that particular program. I understand the concerns that she's got and I understand the work that, that ACC have been doing about the efficiency of that. I think she wasn't directly aiming at Business New Zealand, but I think she's right to at least argue that every dollar of ACC and taxpayer money needs to be spent well, and if the corporation has genuine concerns, then those concerns need to be addressed.
How was she not attacking Business New Zealand? She accused Phil O'Reilly of sexist nonsense, telling her to get back into her little box, and she also said Peter Conway had... She only said sorry to him. Well, she didn't say sorry. She'd only toned down the language because he had asked nicely and hadn't shouted.
Well, I haven't seen all of the comments.
Is that language becoming of a minister of the crown?
Well, I haven't seen all of her comments and I haven't seen the context of the discourse that took place. You really need to go and ask her.
And is it helpful to the tripartite attempt to sort out New Zealand's workplace health and safety regime? Because Phil O'Reilly said it wasn't.
Well, we work with both Business New Zealand and the unions to try and build a safer workplace, and WorkSafe New Zealand has been working very effectively, will work, I think, very effectively in doing that as it builds a head of steam behind it. From time to time, there may be areas where there's disagreement. Clearly that was one.
Do you think the scheme had the hallmarks of a scam and a rot?
Sorry?
Do you think the scheme had the hallmarks of a scam and a rot?
I don't know. Look, I haven't looked closely at it. I think it was a $1.3 million contract, wasn't it, over the course of a lot of spending. I wasn't aware of the work that ACC had done on it, so it's a very much an operational matter.
So you haven't had the cause to talk to Judith Collins about the language she used or the relationship she has with Business New Zealand?
No.
Have your staff talked to her?
I don't think so, no.
Do you have a view about forfeiting at Parliament and whether it should be modernised to give women a...
Well, I think, I've only broadly sort of followed the debate that I've seen running through the media, but I think, from time to time, it is important to assess those issues. And, the Speaker's rightful place, to consider those matters, and I think it's right for him to be engaging and looking and see whether they are as relevant as they were in the past.
Lord Ashcroft's in town, he's in New Zealand at the moment. Will you be meeting with him?
Yeah, I'm having breakfast with him on Thursday morning. He never has in the past, as far as I'm aware. I don't get involved with the National Assembly, won't be asking for any, but he's prohibited, I think, under the law from doing so, so I can't see why with this time, but yeah, that's a pretty good fellow there. I always meet with him when he's here, and it's always good to catch up with him, talk to him about Conservative Party politics and how things are going on.
Just quickly again on the
job,
did our bid for the US Treaty Council
come up
at all?
I didn't raise that with him. That part of the P5, and typically P5 don't actually say who they're voting for, but look, we've got a great relationship with the United States. I think we do a fantastic job on the Security Council, and hopefully they'll vote for us.
And what was the ultimate score?
Well, we won. That's probably all that matters.
What did you get? That's what matters.
He played well. Thanks, Ryan.